There's a common thread in the three parables that we hear today. And that common thread is kind of a foundational principle of all reality, that the sowing of the good seed is the work of the Creator. He has created the good earth. He has created the earth as He wanted it to be, in order that in harmony between us and creation, wonderful things would happen in the world for humanity and for the world in which humanity lives. But we know then in the book of Genesis, it tells us that after seeing that all of this was good, he then realizes that there is much evil in the world, not created by God, but as he says, planted by the evil one and those who choose to follow him. So that the creation is torn between the power and the goodness of its origin and its source, and that evil which has been done to it over the course of its own story, its own history. Then he says, however, what triumphs is the end at the end of the world is what is of me, and not somehow of the evil one. In the end, God triumphs over the sinfulness of humanity. And how does humanity navigate this world of sinfulness? How does humanity find its orderly place in the whole created order? And Jesus goes on then in these other parables. In other words, it begins with belief in the Creator. It begins somehow with the seed of faith in the human heart. And that if that seed of faith is nurtured and if it grows, then what happens is the good fruit of the story of creation is brought to the fore and creates goodness in the world. What is the task, therefore, of the believer? To nurture faith in their own lives and in the lives of those to whom they are sent, within their families, communities, and so forth. Then he speaks of leaven and of yeast, and it who knows the whole process of baked goods that use yeast, knows that kind of a lifeless lump kind of comes to life through the working of the yeast through the whole thing. And so he says, be the one who lives authentically the faith. Be the one who is present in the world. One does not have to change the world from the outside. One has to contribute to its transformation from the inside. It may seem to us small and not very dramatic, but Jesus, in both the mustard seed and the yeast, says it doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be some kind of a global movement toward utopia. It has to be fidelity in the depths of the human heart, of the creature of the Lord, of the one whom he has made, loves, and calls to eternal life. And then he goes on to say, so these are the choices. Either follow the evil one and scatter sin and error and darkness throughout the world, and in the end, you will lose. Or be the faithful one, the one who, in a very perhaps undramatic way, in a very quiet way, the parents who tend to the lives of their children, the children who tend to the care of elderly parents, husbands and wives, local communities and families, look after the faith in each other's lives. We can't impose it. We can't force it. And we all know, within most of our families at least, there is a great deal of turning away from Jesus Christ. What is the answer to that? The solution to that? Be more faithful myself. Be more deeply engaged in the presence of God. Be more deeply engaged in His word presence and in His word. And let God then deal with what grows around us. For we cannot achieve it. There is a tremendous tendency in the modern world, a kind of recurring theme in human history, one that comes to us primarily out of the German thinkers of the 19th century. And that is, it is the obligation of humanity to build a utopia. No, it's not. The perfect world already exists. It exists in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will come to fruition in eternal life. Our job is not to create an alternative reality to the Lord. Our job is to draw Him ever more deeply into our lives, and therefore the lives of the communities in which we live. No matter how we choose to go about doing such things, the gospel is constantly, constantly telling us, if you give a drink to one of these little ones because they are my disciple, you will have great reward in heaven. That's not dramatic. That's not a universal program of revolution. That's not a political movement. That's taking care of our neighbor as we encounter them and meet them for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of their souls and our souls. Christianity is not this vast, huge, complicated, global search for utopia. It is a community of people receiving the Lord in their hearts and in their minds and living that authentically in our daily lives. This afternoon, as we hear these really powerful parables that tells us what is real and is not, what is important and what is not, and the consequences of the Lord's presence in the world and the consequences of our willingness to accept Him as He is and not to recreate Him in our image and likeness and not to adapt the global philosophies of an age, but to seek the Lord Jesus and to live peacefully with Him in our